God is speaking to those in trouble, in despair, lost, broken, hurt, confused. God's voice is present. His voice is alive. God's voice inspires, commands, guides, comforts, instructs, heals. What God says is interpreted by how He says it. Are you listening to the voice of God?
It's good to start and continue our conversation in finding and following the voice of God with greater clarity. We live in a noisy world, right? 35,000 messages coming at you each day. Of those 35, mix in that 10,000 advertisement marketing things directed uniquely at you. Your location, your searches, your social circles targeting you. On top of that, there's not just all the external, but the internal noise. You see, we live in this tension that the world we exist in is doing everything in its power to convince you and me that we are the center of the universe. It doesn't even have to work that hard at convincing us that we're duped pretty easily to think that we're not only the center of our own story, but we're the center of everyone's story. And the noise goes on. And we have to figure out how to filter through that, because that tension is not a healthy place to live, because, well, you're not the center of even your own story, let alone the center of the universe. And so you've got all these messages, you've got all these targeted marketing things coming your direction, but the hard part is that we rely on people oftentimes, and we don't have a unilateral experience even within people circles. Let me give you an example. For some of you, you have a parent or parents that you have always been able to trust that they will lead you in the way of the Lord. Even if it's a sacrifice to them, they will make sure that you get to follow in the footsteps that the Lord is leading you in. And while some of you have that blessing, others of you, when it comes to parental guidance in your life, the reality is young and old, you've always been raising your parents and even pursuing the Lord's direction for your family. Maybe I can help you this way. You have a teacher or a boss, a professor. They're an absolute expert in this particular conversation or in this direct field. And so they're a helpful voice in your life. But when it comes to the area of marriage and family, they have no concept of what it would even look like for you to prioritize that responsibility in your life. You see, we've got all these noises, and yet the people that we surround ourselves with on the regular basis, we don't even know where they're coming from and how they would help us prioritize and filter through all the voices. Parents, teachers, coworkers, siblings, friends. The list of people goes on. But that isn't the only part of the tension that makes our world so noisy and so hard to navigate. There's maybe the hardest voice, and that is that voice that's inside of you. You know that voice that we talked about 4 weeks ago, that one that never stops talking to you and about God? And how do we navigate these tensions? I'll be honest with you, we've been in this conversation for 4 weeks, and there is absolutely no easy button for finding and following the voice of God in your life. So if you're looking for the easy button, just know that that doesn't exist. But there is a voice, the voice of the Lord that speaks. He has spoken, he is speaking, and he will continue to speak. And he invites you and I into a conversation where we could be changed, renewed, and transformed. That in this place of tension, we could even find greater clarity. I want you to jump in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1 this morning. We're going to learn alongside of Joshua's experience, because maybe you're a little bit more like Joshua than you realized. Joshua's coming off the heels of Moses. And if you know anything about Moses, you know that he was a key character in hearing from God and leading people in the direction of God. Oh, he was certainly human. He sinned. He had his own insecurities. He had his personality quirks. But he led. But you see, you might be duped, and the people that followed Moses might be duped to believe that Moses was the key character of the narrative. But that comes to a striking halt when we recognize that at the end of this conversation, Moses dies. And if he's the key character of the conversation, the story's dead. But he's not. And I know many of us are living in a time right now, in our own worlds and in our own families, and certainly in the extended world around us, where we're asking, did all things spiritual die? No, they didn't, because the voice of the Lord is eternal and sovereign and continues to speak. The question is, as the Moseses of the world have died, are there any Joshuas that are going to step up, that are going to learn to listen, find and follow the voice of God with greater clarity, that the world might be renewed in the way that God had planned? It's Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Right off the bat, notice the Lord said. It does us really good to recognize that Moses wasn't the center of the story, that Joshua isn't the center of the story, and you and I are not even the central figure in our own story, let alone the story that is eternal. You see, the Lord speaks, and our responsibility is to be a supporting role to the key story, the key character that God reveals as the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the one whom is all powerful and all redemptive. The Lord said to Joshua. And I know when we talk about the Lord speaking, it's difficult at times to go, well, have I heard from the Lord? Does the Lord continue to speak? Can I just remind you, not in an exhaustive list, but just in a quick list, that the Lord continues to speak. As the sun rises every morning, and as the sun sets every evening, the Lord declares his majesty. He declares his ability to reset seasons in your life. He declares that he's creative in all things, that he paints with a brush that is beautiful and redemptive. No matter how good or bad the day was, the Lord sustains it. No matter how high you go into the world we know, you see power and majesty. Not a space that we have yet to see with the human eye has done anything less than declare that God is sovereign and mighty and detailed and extravagant in the way that he orders all things together. And just as high as we go high, we can dig into the depths of the earth. And the farther we dig, the more, well, complex and incredible we find the Lord to be. That even in the depths of the earth, the Lord does not waste a moment to share his beauty, his divine power. He creates and he recreates and he puts things together that bring about life. The Lord continues to speak. It's not just through creation, it's, well, through the sacred letters, the scriptures, the Bible. This is a magnificent piece of literature in which God took human beings who were insecure and sinful, and he used their experiences, their personalities, to allow them to write their experiences. And while writing from their own personal perspective, divine intervention wove those authors together in a way that we have 66 books that tell the narrative of God in a redemptive and unified way. Not relieving the tensions of the world, but rather showing how we handle the tensions of the world. The Lord continues to speak through the sacred writings. He speaks through promptings. When he nudges you to speak, to listen, to change, he speaks. He speaks through people. He doesn't just speak through people in their strengths and abilities. He speaks through people in their weaknesses and their inabilities. The Lord uses people to remind us of his incredible ability to redeem all things and to reconcile things. The Lord uses people. The Lord also speaks through conviction. You know those moments where you feel guilt, shame, anxious, stirring, a lack of peace, even anger or bitterness. The Lord uses those convictions to open your ears that you might receive in your heart and in your mind a voice that can move you, that can inspire you. The Lord continues to speak, and that would just be a simple list. But the key thing is to remember is that the Lord is the central figure of the story, and he speaks. And we have a responsibility to find and follow the Lord in our listening. So let's continue in the passage where he says, "Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded. And do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." You see, the Lord speaks. But when he speaks, it's not just about hearing the Lord that you would feel good. It's about responding to the Lord that his will would be fulfilled. He spoke to Joshua, and Joshua had to respond. And he says, "Now therefore, arise." He calls us to respond. Can I ask you, have you ever just had that quote, that phrase that somebody dropped on your life and you haven't been able to shake it ever since? I love to listen to a variety of different voices throughout my life, and I can't remember if it was early or late high school or early college. I don't remember the exact season of my life, but I remember these words. I've never had to look them back up. They just were said and they stuck, and I've been wrestling with them ever since. And now I'm going to hand you the wrestling. Andy Stanley says, "What do you do when it dawns on you that you're the most important person in the room? What do you do when it dawns on you that you're the most important person in the room?" Now, maybe you're having a quick reaction like I did the first time I heard that, where I was like, "Well, that seems arrogant, Andy. You're looking around to see who's the most important person in the room." And I kept chewing on it and mulling on it and realized it wasn't arrogant at all. It was just honest. That in every environment, in every interaction, we have to ask ourselves, if we want to find and follow the voice of the Lord with great clarity, we have to ask, whose voice is leading the room? Who's leading the environment? Who's leading the social interaction? Who's leading the family? And so you might desire to dodge this and go like, yeah, my voice isn't that important. Well, that's not humility. That's a lack of response to the Lord's direction in your life. The Lord has caused you to certain circles of influence, and you have to own the fact that you're the most important person in the environment. Think about it. Just run through your last week, meetings that you were in. Your home, as you gathered in different conversations, in the kitchen, in the living room, in the bedroom. Think about the small social circles that you interact with. Think about the family and the extended family that you converse with. Maybe the hardest room to be in and to lead is the one you're in alone, where you're absolutely the most important person in the room. Do you hear the tension? You see, you are the most important person in certain circles, and yet a world that's trying to convince you that you're the key character of the story, that's not truth. So as we wrestle with this tension, can I suggest that a wise man and a wise woman would walk in and out of rooms, environments, circles, and influence, asking the question, who's the voice that's leading this conversation? And oftentimes we need to follow. It's not our voice that needs to lead the room. Somebody else needs to lead the room. But we should still be asking, is the voice of God present in the room? Because a wise person recognizes when to get in the way and when to get out of the way. That the Lord is here to speak, and he uses people all over the platforms to do so. And it's our responsibility to point people in his direction. So what are you going to do with the tension? Joshua is called to arise and lead. But this doesn't end there. The conversation continues on. He says, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. That's the Lord's voice in Joshua's life. Maybe this resonates within you when Jesus was leaving his disciples to go back to be with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he promised the disciples that surely I will be with you even to the very end of the age. And those of us who are trying to find the voice of God and seek clarity in that, we often struggle with this concept of the Lord being with us. Because we look around and we go like, it doesn't feel like you're with me, Jesus. Scholar John Golden Gay helps us out in maybe processing this thought. He says, in modern English, I will be with you is inclined to suggest that we will have a sense that God is with us. But the Bible, it suggests something objective, not merely subjective. It means God will make sure things work out. The promise that Jesus will be with you is that he has made a way for you to follow and to see, and you could see that God is faithful in this. Not only will God be with you, but in your best moments and in your worst moments, he will make sure things work out if you're seeking his voice. The text goes on in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He'll make sure it works out. He tells us again that he will be with us. It might appear all of a sudden that Joshua is creating his own success. No, Joshua will have success because he has committed to following the voice of the Lord. And when we do that, the Lord will make sure it works out. But something else happens than the Lord just being with us in the form of making sure it works out. How does he actually be with us? Well, the text tells us in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In a Jewish culture, to not depart from your mouth was to chew on the very words of God in a way that you would think about them. But they wouldn't just chew on them in a silent form. They would chew on them in a vocal form as well. They would recite the scriptures out loud. And the concept behind this was to internalize that which God was saying and allow the mind and the heart to connect in a way that it would transform the way they lived. And so they were committed to not letting the word of the Lord get out of their mouth. Maybe this imagery will be helpful for you. You've eaten a baguette, like that crusty piece of bread that you can't normally bite through. You almost have to like rip it off. And then once you break through the crust, then you start to get to the softer spots. But most of us like dip it in soup or in coffee to soak it a little bit to help add flavor to that which is going on around the baguette. And we chew on it. And as we chew, we work through the hard layers, and then we start to find the softer layers, and then we recognize how it complements and enhances everything else that has been served with it. Okay, I get it. You're a low-carb person. Grab a steak. It's seared with a little bit of crust, cooked on the inside to your perfection. And as you break through that first layer of crust, you don't give it two bites and swallow. No, that's not a good steak. If it's a good steak, you chew on it. You savor the flavors. Because you know in that moment, it adds to everything else, not just the meal that is surrounding it, but the company that you are eating it with. It's a dish of delight. Okay. So you're low carb and you're vegetarian. I don't know what to tell you. I'm still chewing on the reality of I don't know how you survive in the world that we're walking through. But you're starting to get the picture, right? The word of the Lord is to be chewed on, to be meditated on. This week, in my own personal time, as I was grabbing a steak, I'm working through 1 Samuel, and I'm wrapping that book of the Bible up. And as I'm reading through how David honors the Lord with his leadership, and Saul struggles in honoring the Lord with his leadership, both good men at times, both horrific men at other times, and just learning and wrestling with how are they finding the voice of the Lord in their lives. I was using a resource that Tara Lee Cobble happens to write, and she gave me this nugget of gold in my personal time, and maybe it will be helpful for you as you chew. We see something interesting as a pattern in Scripture. When someone asks God for direction, but they aren't following the existing direction he already has given them, God often won't tell them something new. As you seek to find and follow the voice of the Lord, are you already following the voice of the Lord that you know? You see, for some reason, we want the Lord to be faithful while we remain faithless. It works best when we choose to be faithful to the one whom has always been faithful. He speaks more clearly when we respond more obediently. The Jewish culture knew the power of mulling on the voice of the Lord. Joshua knew that in a time and an era where the voice of the Lord needed to be heard, that somebody had to raise their hand. Somebody had to step forward. Somebody had to assume responsibility and recognize that there needed to be a new person, a most important person in the conversation to direct everybody to the central figure of the story, the Messiah that was to come. We know him as Jesus, the one whom forgives people of their sins and reconciles all things back to God. I want to be helpful, because I believe we're in a moment in your history, in my history, where we need more Joshuas. We need more people to recognize that we're not just in a post-Christian conversation. We're in a post-common sense conversation. And we can gripe and we can complain and we can wrestle with all of that conversation, or we can invest our lives. We can do something significant, and we can listen to the voice of the Lord and be like Joshua and say, I'm going to arise and go and allow the voice of the Lord to be my strength and my courage to influence in the circles where he is calling me to both listen and to speak. And I know it's scary, because we're living in a time where if you say anything, you've said too much. And if you say nothing, you've missed the whole conversation. So how do you speak or not speak in this time? Well, our moment in history is significant because it's our moment in history. We don't live in the past and we don't get privy to the future. This is what God is calling us to. And what God called people to in the past was scary and dangerous and hard. And what God will call people to in the future will be scary, dangerous, and hard. But this moment is what he's called you and I to. And so what do we do? Well, I know what I do. I listen to see where the Lord has already spoken and see if there's anything from where he has already spoken that I might be able to live it out in a way that would listen well to the Lord, and whatever environments that I find myself into, maybe contribute in a meaningful way to other people experiencing the voice of the one who speaks. Well, Paul gifts us with that. He writes to the church in Corinth, and Corinthians were plagued with a saturated culture that was in the misuse and abuse of power. And this is what Paul tells the Christians to do in living in that culture and in that climate and in that context. And I hope that maybe this will be a gift to you and me. If it's helpful, feel free to close your eyes and just listen to the Lord speak and apply it to the things that are going on in your world. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, a woman, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. The Lord speaks. And we're called to listen. And we're called to be obedient. To live in the tensions. You see, the greater the tension, the greater the opportunity for the Lord to grab hold of people and what's going on around them. So knowing when to get in the way and when to get out of the way. What do you do when it dawns on you that you're the most important person in the room? You see, God's voice is not just more noise to an already loud world. The voice of the Lord is both the source and the strategy. And so we listen, and we follow, and we lead, that people might know him and be changed, renewed, and transformed. This morning, I want to help you like Joshua helped his people. If you look at Joshua chapter 1, he says, "Now arise and go." And Joshua assumes leadership, and Joshua lives through a lot of tension. But Joshua is just like Moses, and he's just like you, and he's just like me. The end of Joshua ends with Joshua dying, and we're going to die. And if we want to invest in this generation and the generations after us, the best thing we can do is leverage our investment to helping people find and follow the voice of God with great clarity. And so as Joshua's time in the conversation is wrapping up, he meets with the people and empowers the people to go following the voice of the Lord. And there's tension in that because they're going to have to shut off the other voices in their life and find and follow the voices of God. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand. As I read Joshua's words to you, the words of the Lord, and as you're standing there, know that it's the voice of the Lord that is foundational to us moving forward. And it is the voice of the Lord that hovers over us, that promises that he will make it work out. And it's the voice of the Lord that dwells within us, that inspires us to in all places listen and lead with the tone, the nature, and the character of a God who speaks both truth and grace. Joshua says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your fathers. They served beyond the river and in Egypt and served the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people of the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey.